It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN, and joining me now is Eddie Gonzalez. He is from the Boardroom, which is the media arm for Kevin Durant and Rich Kleiman, his longtime agent. He is on X at Bansky. Bans, what's happening, man? How are you?
I'm doing good, man. How about you?
I'm hanging in there, brother. How have you enjoyed these playoffs so far, these NBA playoffs?
You know, it's funny in the league now. There's so much variance with the shooting and you get all these blowouts, but I feel like we got a bunch of great series and we got two great ones we're looking at right now, so I'm excited. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, and know what really jumps off the page for me is the parody. Man, Adam Silver's been chasing this NFL-style parody. He's got it. It'll be six straight years with six straight different champions.
I mean, look, and you look, we have all these conversations, face of the league and ushering right. The new era and all this stuff, and look at the four teams we got right now, and look at the markets of the teams we have. Yes, we got the old tradition with Boston, but then you got Dallas and Luka Doncic, everything we've wanted him to be his whole career. You got Minnesota, you got Edwards. These different cities representing the league right now, that era of Steph and LeBron and KD and LA and Miami and all that, that's over. And now we got a whole different NBA, and I think it's better for it.
Do you think that the super team era is like completely over? Because that's the big conversation that's been happening throughout these entire playoffs. Because I don't want to completely close that book, because I think there could be opportunities for it into the future. But right now, it feels like, you know, we have LeBron and AD with the Lakers gone. The Clippers, they tried to build that up. That's gone. Your guy Kevin there with the Phoenix Suns, that thing got swept out of the playoffs. Like, it feels like it's a changing of the guard with teams that have this homegrown talent that they build upon, that they season through a few years of the playoffs, and then that's what's winning.
Well, that's another thing I like about what we have in this Final Four is the different ways of team building we're looking at here. And you look at the Pacers, they're built with major trades, and including one at the deadline this year to get Pascal Siakam. Mm-hmm. You look at the Celtics, they drafted their superstars, they're all NBA guys, and then they slowly built ancillary pieces around that in trades in the offseason to get Porzingis, to get Drew. And then you look at the Wolves. Look, they drafted two of their major guys, two of their top guys. But then they made one of the biggest trades in the last couple of years to get Rudy Gobert, to really shore up what they were doing there. And Dallas, the same thing. When they got Kyrie, everybody was worried about what you would do. Kyrie got him in season, struggled through that, made some more in-season trades this year, and obviously drafted Luka. So there's different ways to skin a cat now, right?
Yep.
And that doesn't mean that you're not going to go big free agency. You're not going to go teaming up. You're not going to do that. That's still possible, and that's still going to happen. And like you said, in the future, I think there's going to be more avenues to do so with the new TV deal and the bump in the cap, which is going to be, I think it's capped out at 10%, but still is going to allow for some kind of variance there and some big splashes. But look, there's different ways to get to a title, and they've all taken different paths. But we got the Olympics this year, and you better believe there's going to be teammates in that Olympics going, hey, man, you look great in this uniform, man. You look good over here, and figuring out a way to do it.
Yeah, now I will say this. I'll start with the Eastern Conference, because I think the Celtics ran through it, and I always expected them to run through it. As soon as I saw the Drew Holiday move and the Kristaps Porzingis move, I said that's the best starting five in the NBA. But it feels like sometimes, like just looking at the way they have gone through these playoffs in general, they have a little dumb A in them. Like sometimes they have a lot of talent, but the tomfoolery will get over top of them at times. But when you look at that team that they're playing, the Pacers, I think it highlights Eastern Conference, man, and I hate to be this guy. You got to plug your nose sometimes with how stinky it is. You usually have one team that you know is going to get through. Then, like, we had the Hawks in 2021. We've had the zombie Heat a couple years along the way. Now you have the Pacers. Somebody has to make it through to the Eastern Conference Finals. It just happened to be the Pacers this year.
Yeah, and I kind of agree with you there. I think at the end of the day, we're going to get the team we were supposed to get coming out of the East in Boston. But, yeah, like, that's a tough conference. Bunch of injuries over there. Obviously, you have Giannis go down. You have Dame go down. You have Joel Embiid miss half the season. And that shuffles things up, too. But you look at the teams that made the play-in in either conference, that just shows the difference right there in talent and the team level that they have in each side. It's like, yo, all due respect to the Chicago Bulls and what they did all year. Same thing for the Atlanta Hawks. But come on, that's not the Lakers. Right. That's not the Warriors. That's not even the Kings. You know what I mean? So yeah. It's tough to see that. But that's just the way the league shakes out. And that's the funny part about parity. You do get the block in the middle, and it's a lot of greatness. And then you get some of the worst teams you've seen ever right. at the bottom of that, too. So that's the something about that. But look, if you're the Pacers, they were great throughout the season.
Yeah, you tip the cap. Yeah. I don't want to take anything away from them.
And look, they rely a ton on their shooting. They rely a ton on what Halliburton creates for them. And they were an offensive team all year long. They made a couple small moves at the deadline, and then obviously got Pascal Siakam, who's huge, and that's completely transformed what they are. And then you play with who's in front of you at the end of the day. You know what I mean? They can't help that Thibodeau's running everybody into the ground in New York. They can't help what's going on in Milwaukee. Plus, they were beating Milwaukee up all year anyway. Look, you tip the hat to them. I talked as much about them as I could. And then they were right there neck and neck with the Celtics game one. So it's like, hey, that's what I get for that.
Yeah, now in the Western Conference Finals, Mavs get over top 1-0. Like, you play 82 games, and then you lose home court advantage in one game. I saw you tweet about that as well. But are you surprised the Timberwolves made it through the Nuggets the way they did? Obviously, in seven games, they had to do it on the road. That was nuts. And honestly, Anthony Edwards in that game seven didn't have a good game.
Yo, they toughed it out. They won with Minnesota Timberwolves basketball, and a lot of conversation about what to do and what not to do about Rudy Gobert.
Right.
End of the day, nobody can guard Nikola Jokic. It's what Rudy Gobert does off of that and how you're able to help guys off of that as well. You look at Jaden McDaniels, he can be as aggressive as he is on the perimeter because he knows Rudy Gobert's behind him. And that's part of what they do there and what makes them great. I was happy for Rudy. I'm not a big fan. I was happy for him that he had a great game seven and he helped push them through. I was surprised. I thought the Nuggets had another gear that they never quite got to. And thinking back, that 40-point game should have told us, like, there's a gap here. You know what I mean? There's a gap that there's a level of athleticism that the Wolves can get to that the Nuggets can. I think that showed in Game 7. And we got one of the best games we've had in the last couple of years in that Game 7. So I'm happy for them. But like Ant said, they were tired. They were tired. That's the risk you run, not finishing that series when you had the chance. They were tired in Game 1, and I think it showed a little bit on the court.
Talking with Eddie Gonzalez from Boardroom. He is on X at Bansky. Now, one of the conversations that has come up, especially here in Memphis, obviously sitting here in my Memphis studios, is Anthony Edwards' lapping job when it comes to being a face of the league. And I know you sort of covered this a little bit earlier. I think what it has done for me, seeing the Timberwolves in this position after 2 years ago, the Grizzlies beat them in six games and round number one moved on to play the eventual champion Warriors. What's done for me is it does highlight the missteps Ja made this offseason and why the Grizzlies weren't, you know, a part of any type of postseason basketball. That's what it does for me. But I think people are going a little overboard trying to say, well, Anthony Edwards has completely lapped him. Ja can't really catch up. I mean, it's a year-to-year thing, right? This is a fluid situation. We're talking about face of the league. I think it is a lot more fluid than people try to make it when they put that narrative out in the world.
Oh, it is deep. It goes down to the sneakers. It goes down to the role they fill in the league, in the sort of like American basketball player that exists in this league that is so international now. But I'm right there with you. I mean, my running gag at the start of the season as the Grizzlies kind of limped into the season waiting for Ja to come back is like, yo, my MVP's Ja.
Right.
Look at what we're watching. Like, my MVP's Ja Morant. And then he comes back and he looks great and obviously gets hurt. And I'm like, now even more so my MVP's Ja Morant. Like you said, it highlights the mistakes he made, and a lot of it is self-inflicted, and I'm sure you guys have talked a ton about
sure
what the NBA could have done and what he could have done better, all that stuff. But the point is, it happened, and now we've lost a year of John Morant, and people are forgetting, because they forget that fast, just how incredible he is, just how much he means to the league, just how much he moves the needle, just how much he helps that team. And it's going to be a big year for that team going in next year, obviously. And he's going to be the catalyst. He's great. For as great as we think Anthony Edwards is, John Morant is just as great. And he's shown us that before, just like Ant is now. And he will again. He's that incredible.
Yeah, now they need to add a big. They need to do things like that. Going into next year, if they stay healthy, which obviously is a big if looking at last year, they were the most – they were historically hurt. Man. Like, it was nuts. Like, 33 separate players, and, you know, they had, what, 50-some-odd starting lineups. It was ridiculous. But if they stay healthy, where do you slot them in the West? Are they a protected seed, top four, top five, top six?
I mean, they're right in that bunch, right? Right in the middle. I think you're still going to have the Nuggets up top. I think you're still going to have the Wolves up top. You're going to have the Thunder. I think you're going to have some variance with the Thunder as a young team as they are. But
right.
We have no clue what the Clippers are going to be. We have no clue what the Phoenix Suns are going to be. The Los Angeles Lakers, the Golden State Warriors, the Kings. Like, there's this crop of teams right under that tier. And the I think the Grizzlies are right in there because of what you mentioned. They need a couple of things. They have some injuries to deal with, all of that. But they're right in there, and they can be as good as any of those teams. You know what I mean? So, look, 3 seed would not shock me. 8 seed would not shock me either, just because right. of how close that conference is. But they'll be there, and they're going to be a force to deal with because of Ja, because of Desmond Bane, because, you know, the former defensive player of the year in Jaren Jackson. So they have the stuff that you need to succeed in this current version of the NBA. They just got to stay healthy. They got to get all the guys on the court, and they'll be right there with everybody else.
All right, no, I'm not trying to get you in trouble, but what do you think of the Phoenix Suns, man? That was a tough way to go out. Timberwolves sweeping them. Matt Ishbia gets up to the mic and, you know, basically says the house isn't on fire. I think a lot of teams would trade for our core right now, but they have a lot of money out there between KD and Brad Beal and Devin Booker, and you have a new coach coming in on a $10 million plus per year contract, and Mike Budenholzer. What do you think of that team going into the next couple of years? Because it feels like they have to take advantage as soon as humanly possible.
You know, it's funny, when I watch, try to be unbiased observer, you look at that team and the way it's structured, they're not trading Devin Booker. There's no way. Like
right.
that he said that. He said the same about Kevin, and Kevin is probably the most tradable of the three based on contract, based on what you'll get, based on value for the other team. But if I'm looking, again, unbiased observer, he bought that team a little over a year ago. He blew it up almost immediately, traded for Kevin.
Yep.
Then had another mini blow up in the summer, getting rid of DeAndre Ayton, former number one pick for them. Huge player for them on a max contract. And like, to blow it up 3 times in 14 months, it just doesn't sound right.
Can't do
right?
It. Yeah.
So at some point, you have to dig in your heels. You have to say, we're going to make this better. We got to be better, whatever it is. There's pieces they can add on the fringes of their roster, and they're going to have to. I think they had to figure out center position. A lot of conversation about if and do they need a point guard or not. I think they do. People think they don't for other reasons. But we watched them needed that shot creation ability. Booking Kevin like to get the ball on spots and go from there. They don't necessarily want to be dribbling, making it all happen. Same thing for Brad. Look, there's stuff they're going to have to change this summer. And they have a pick they can trade. They have some players they feel like they can trade. I think they'll make additions. You look at the Wolves, the way the Wolves were running roughshod over the league. It's like, all right, they were right there with them. They had a chance a little bit. They're not too far apart.
Yeah.
But Kevin's a year older. Book's a year older. You're bringing in a new coach. There's a lot going on. I think they'll be in the mix. They almost won 50 games this year. There's some stuff they got to add, much like every other team. They need some athleticism on the wing. You know, I like their ability to add that stuff this summer, but they got to do it. So we'll see.
And
then they got an important summer ahead of them.
And that's the thing. Like, you are just a couple of trades, a couple of additions from really getting yourself over the hump. The Mavs showed that. They go into the season, sign Grant Williams to that massive contract. They realize it didn't work out. Go trade for P.J. Washington, find Daniel Gafford. You draft Derek Lively. Here's Derek Jones Jr. and his development. Like, you are never as far away as you used to be in sort of the super team era when those super teams had just way more talent than you and you couldn't catch up. You are a couple of good pieces away from making it happen. And I think the Nuggets showed that over the years, too, with the Aaron Gordon addition, Michael Porter Jr. coming into his own, that type of thing.
No, the Mavs, I think, will be Exhibit A for a time to come now, where if you're that team that's right there and you feel like you're close, you feel like your top guys are good enough, actually swing at the deadline because all of that stuff helps. You know what I mean? Look, the Grant Williams, it felt like a good deal at the time. they had to get rid. They had to get off of that. They got rid of it as early as they could, and they found a guy who fit better. Gafford.
Yep.
He was sitting there in Washington doing nothing. It cost him a late, not a, a bad first round pick. Cost him Rashawn Holmes, a guy they weren't even playing. It's like, let's upgrade a little bit because we trust our guys, and it works. The same thing happened in Indy, and like you said, the Nuggets have done it before as well. So it's like, you got to be aggressive. If you feel like you're close enough, you got to be aggressive. You got 25-year-old Luka Doncic, you got to be aggressive. You got to. And I think,
and it doesn't necessarily have to be stars. It doesn't have to be anybody that, that you feel like is going to raise your ceiling offensively, like that is just this unbelievable scorer that's a highlight reel. It could just be those guys in the margins.
Look, there's players in this league who win you series. There's players in this league who win you quarters in series. And a quarter can win you a game, which can win you a series, and they all matter. We watched P.J. Washington win games this playoffs. He hit the big free throws to win the series against the Thunder. So those guys all matter. If you can improve on those, you're going to play 7-8 guys. If your eighth guy can be better than your eighth guy was, that's going to help you when you need it most.
All right, now all NBA teams got published. We had on the first team Giannis, Luka, SGA, Jokic, Jason Tatum. Second team, Jalen Brunson, shout out to him, Anthony Edwards, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, Kawhi, and then LeBron gets the 20-time All-NBA selection, also the youngest and oldest in All-NBA selection all time. It's just ridiculous to see what he does all the time. But do you have any issues with the All-NBA teams? And I think more so being that you know, like, you're friends with a lot of guys in the NBA, how do they feel about the All-NBA selections and how much it affects their money? Because I can't imagine, especially with the new CBA and the 65-game minimum, they're big fans of the way this has progressed and how it goes these days.
Oh, it absolutely matters. You get around NBA, you get around professional athletes, period, for more than 10 minutes, contracts are going to come up. Money's going to come up. It's going to go because it's their livelihood, right? So it absolutely matters. It absolutely happens in conversation. You hear these guys talk about it all the time. So you got the guys who were able to hit that eligibility now. I think it was Halliburton this year and Ant. Yep. Yo, you're going to talk about that extra $50 million. There's just no way around it.
Right.
And it's tough, and it's frustrating for them as well because, look at the 70 writers who decide this. You know what I mean? If Jaylen Brown got his last year, but if you're Paolo, right, and you're coming up on that eligibility soon at some point, you're like, yo, I was an All-NBA guy this year. And on, it extends. So it's tough. I think we got a good – got it mostly right. I think most years we get it mostly right. There's some conversation about Halliburton, and he was great early in the season. He dealt with the injury and pretty unabashedly made sure he played the amount of games to make this. But it worked, you know what I mean? So I think, look, biased me says I'd probably bump Kevin first team over Giannis.
Right.
But besides that, I don't – there wasn't too many issues. I saw a lot of conversation about LeBron over Kawhi for second. I'm fine with that. I mean, but I think at the end of the day, I got the right guys. And I'm happy you highlight LeBron because that is ridiculous. I think we've seen LeBron for so long, and we say, oh, medical advancement and all this stuff. The fact that he was the youngest and now the oldest, and literally 20 of these, he's done this 20 straight years, like, we're never seeing that again, and it's absolutely
absurd. I don't know why people try to trivialize it. I just don't get it. Because of the GOAT debate and everything else, I'm not worried about that when I put these things out there. We still have to appreciate that on its own laurels. It's like, I don't know why we have to trivialize that and sort of throw out hate there every once in a while in NBA media and NBA circles. It feels like there's a lot more hate in sort of that media arm for the NBA than there is in a lot of other leagues. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm misstepping by saying that.
No, and I agree. And I think, look, I get a lot of flack for talking about the halftime shows and stuff.
Right.
And they're overly negative. And, like, one is more entertaining than the other, and we all know they are. But, like, they can be overly negative. And as a fan, it's like, why am I entertained by this? This isn't – it's not cool to me that you don't know who's on what team. Like, that's bad. You're supposed – but I think, yes, I think it does permeate NBA culture in a lot of ways, especially online. And online is just toxic in general.
Yes.
But it's definitely time to hat tip to LeBron. I think Steph and KD as well, because at their ages, people forget Steph is older than KD. Steph shouldn't be this good anymore either. This is not what a 36-year-old NBA player is supposed to look like. And he's been incredible. And he's, like, undeniably a top 10 player. He's not supposed to be that anymore. LeBron isn't supposed to be that anymore. So we should celebrate that a little bit more than we do. So I'm happy you did. And again, it's not about GOAT debate. It's not about nothing. But, like, we used to, when LeBron was early in the league, we were like, oh, man, what was he going to look like in year 20? Old LeBron, probably like a power forward and, getting like 12 rebounds and like 8 assists a game or something like that.
Right.
No, he's still averaging 25, 7 assists. Yes. He's still the same exact guy.
And he's still on ball, setting up his teammates. It's nuts. It's nuts. He just had to admit it at some point.
I knew the LeBron thing was broken in my head because it was like, I just am slotting him in for 26 points a game this year. It doesn't matter. And I'm just slotting him into, like, if there's a playoff series, I trust that he can win one game. Like, that just doesn't matter. And it happened. So it's pretty insane.
Yes, 100%. Now, last thing I want to get into, since you bring up the halftime show and you bring up Inside the NBA, maybe you're making a little reference to it. This new NBA TV deal is going to be nuts. They basically, tripled their money. $7 billion is what they're looking at right now if everything gets all agreed to, and it looks like Warner Brothers Discovery TNT is going to be cut out of the thing. That's going to be strange, man. That's going to be strange for the first couple years. We'll have one more year on it, and then after that, we're going to be transitioning away, and we'll be away from Inside the NBA. And I think we'll be missing pretty substantial entertainment. Now, sometimes, like you said, they miss the mark in knowing what actually happened on the court, and their takes are a little overblown. But that is some of the best entertainment we do have in the league still.
Yeah, and I know in talking to people around the league, the expectation was almost always that they were still going to have those two branches of that. And then, yes, we'll go to Amazon Prime. We'll sell some games to Netflix. We'll sell some games here, sell some games there. Up until very recently, never was it expected that they would just abandon what they built there with Turner and then move on. And obviously NBC is the money they have to make that bid. But everybody expected, if anything, it'd be three prongs from here and go from there. I think there's whispers about that show now going to Prime and basically being licensed out, and they'll continue doing the show in some way, shape, or form. I think it's a great idea. It is going to change, though. It is going to change what we know of the NBA. And the NBA, like you said, more than pretty much any other league, a lot of it is about how it's presented to us and the conversations that are presented to us and the storylines and what we highlight. And there's so much conversation about that. It is going to change that. And there are going to be some different sensibilities as you bring in NBC, as you bring in these other outlets. But it's good for the league. It brings in more revenue. For years, the talk of this was this TV deal, because everybody knew this was the TV deal where they would leapfrog, and they wanted NFL money. And they had all that social media metrics that they can show to be like, we're the most important league. And I've worked at bigger brands and bigger social teams, and it's always NBA first. And no matter, incredible NFL ratings, and the NFL is NFL and it's king, but it was always like NBA smashes everything else we do. It's the constant conversation. It's a 365 days a year league. And so they knew they were going to cash in with this TV deal. They set those markers in place to make sure there was no cap jump so we get another Kevin Durant and Golden State. But it's still going to benefit the league. And now we're talking about guys that are going to have $90 million seasons.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's what I was looking at. Because it's like always in these conversations, whether it's the NFL or the NBA and a new TV deal and really college football, whatever it is, if there's streaming involved, like the consumer seems to lose out. We're going to lose Inside the NBA. Everybody seems to like that on TNT. You have to pay for an Amazon Prime subscription, although I don't know really who doesn't have an Amazon Prime subscription at this particular point in time. But still, if you don't have it, you have to go get it to go watch the games. But for the players, damn. I mean, it's going to go up. The cap's going to go up 10% just about every year. By 2028, I follow and bring on the show every once in a while Keith Smith from SpotTrack. He does a really good job of throwing out like contract extensions and what they look like. He said by 2028-29, if it goes up 10% every single year, we could be looking at a 5-year, $419 million deal. Absolutely nuts. And the players went out with this type of deal getting done by the NBA.
And Wembanyama, when he got drafted, it was like he's, because of the way the years was and all this stuff, like he's in line for the first $1 billion contract. So like we're not far off from that.
We're not.
And it's like, if you're a guy who is 7 years in or whatever, and you want to get that 10-year, the 10-year where you can get the 35% max, like it's going to change a little bit about how you're moving around. You're thinking twice about the second contract because, you know, the cap is going to be what in 2029? Okay, let me try to get my math right and get to that other contract first. It's going to matter a lot. And again, you know, those guys earned it. They're the biggest stars in sports in a lot of ways, and that's the point of kind of what they do. It is crazy to me, though, because I remember KG on the cover of Sports Illustrated with his $120 million contract, and people were saying, oh, sports is ruined. And now we're going to get Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with a $90 million season. And it's like, man, it's only been 20 years. It's not been that long at all.
But,
and that's how fast it's moved.
But part of this is you're creating a higher high class, a higher upper class, and a lower class, right? Sort of among NBA teams.
And we're getting rid of the middle ground. It's almost to the point where you're a minimum guy, you're the mid level extension,
or you're making $70 million a year, right?
Yeah. And so it's like, you know how our brains work. So I'm seeing guys get $15 million seasons, and I'm like, he's not on 15. Well, he is now.
Yeah.
Because the money's just different now, you know. So it's going to be up to the teams to figure out how to juggle it. I think the draft is weirdly more important than it ever is. We're almost getting to that NFL level of, okay, my quarterback's on a rookie deal. Now I can load up, and we can win now. But that's our window. We're almost getting to that level of that where – Victor Wembanyama only makes $12 million a year right now. I got to figure this out because he's making 45. And so we're getting to that level of disparity with the contracts.
No doubt about it. Well, Eddie, I appreciate it, man. Let's do this again soon. This was a good conversation.
Yes, sir. Let's talk soon. Thanks so much, man. You have a good one.
Yes, sir. You too. That's Eddie Gonzalez on X at Bansky. He's a media personality for Boardroom, which is the media arm of Kevin Durant and his agent, Rich Kleiman. But make sure you go follow him on X at Bansky. He's some good stuff every single night from his Twitter. Very, very animated to say the least. Now let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. And when we come back, we need to hop into the Blitz. We have a couple of weight loss stories we need to get into that should be fun. One affects a Memphis Tiger on the basketball team, and one affects one guy that we watch in the NCAA tournament by the name of DJ Burns. That's worth discussing. And then Charles Barkley sounded off on Caitlin Clark and her haters last night. Let's discuss that next. 92.9 FM ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, the biggest stories. Overloading the line. A bull rush of info. It's Gabe's Blitz on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
And always remember that the Blitz is brought to you by Sissy's Log Cabin. Brad Carson, what we got?
All right, let's start with this basketball weight loss story.
Stories.
From our staff who puts these together, of course. Couple of basketball weight loss stories here, multiple. One is from the NCAA tournament. Our guy from NC State, Gabe, DJ Burns Jr., a.k.a., I guess what we call him, Mini Zeebo.
Yes.
The other is from in town, Dane Danger, the Tigers' big man.
All right, now Dane Danger, I think, will carry the conversation here, but DJ Burns Jr. has lost 45 freaking pounds since the NCAA tournament.
Great.
How the hell do you do that? Do you stop eating? I'll never forget one day. So my buddy Drew Kaiser, he used to play center next to me for probably 35 of my 51 starts when I was at the University of Memphis. And after he got done, he's going to be a firefighter, and he lost probably 100 pounds in a calendar year. And obviously, I still haven't gotten the weight off for the most part. I think I'm in okay shape, but the weight hasn't all the way fallen off. It hasn't all the way fallen off. Now, I asked him, I go, Drew, how'd you lose that weight? And his response was, didn't eat. And I'm like, that's the only thing DJ Burns could have done, just not eat. To get 45 pounds off in like a 3-4 month period is absolutely diabolical. Now, here's my favorite part of the way this was reported on.
Okay.
Shams Charania was the first to it.
Right.
And he said DJ Burns lost 45 pounds without Ozempic. What does that tell us about where our society is?
People are going crazy with this Ozempic, bro.
People are going nuts.
And your wife is familiar with this. She's in the medical field, and so she probably could inform more. Does she talk about this? Like, people are going insane with this stuff.
People are going nuts.
Like, they're sticking their stomachs and they're going.
Yes.
And
even
it's like people are normal.
It's not a medical thing for them. They're just literally trying to shed weight easy.
Well, I have a friend who told me, who's also in the medical field, said it also robs you of muscle too. Like, it doesn't just take the fat, like it takes the good stuff too.
Yeah, but the Ozempic is,
it's crazy.
It has taken the world
over
by storm.
Well, you can understand why it drops weight like
it is crazy.
Joker.
You don't eat
like,
very much.
I don't feel like eating ever.
Yeah,
maybe I need to take Ozempic. I've been a little pudgy,
but I will say, I guess it does add to how impressive it is that he dropped 45 pounds
just
since he did
eat.
It without Ozempic.
Yeah,
since he didn't.
Maybe, you know what'd be funny is like his first. Of course, he's going. Well, so what's he doing? He's going to be an NBA player,
yeah,
right?
G League. So I was going to get to that. Yeah. He's going to Lakers. A Lakers
All right.
tryout.
So like in theory, like Workout Ozempic could sponsor him in or something. You know, like, it's too late for an NIL deal.
Well, if he didn't use Ozempic, why would they sponsor him?
Well, because he can say,
he can't,
you know,
speak on their product.
You could be like me if you're a normal human and you want to drop a few, and you know
Ozempic. But the fact that we have to qualify someone's weight loss by saying without Ozempic, that's pretty telling. Now on to Dane Danger. I don't think he used Ozempic
Danger!
Either. So that's good. Dane Danger, from what I'm hearing behind the scenes, they really expect him to be the starting five for this team going into next year because they think he's going to drop some weight. He said he wanted to get down to about 240 after coming over from Illinois.
Okay.
And he was at 258 when he first got to Memphis. And Jason Munns from the Commercial Appeal is already reporting that he's down 15 pounds from that original 258.
Is he reporting that he's using Ozempic?
He's not reporting that he's using Ozempic. And I don't know if that type of weight loss is like, Ozempic's usually like 20 plus pounds at the very least. But he's down to 243 already, so he looks like he'll be more movable and he'll be able to run the floor a whole lot better, maybe do a little more rim running, but he's going to be in better shape, and I think that bodes well for his fit within Penny's system, which I called into question originally because that's not the style of ball he's played. He's played around 270 pounds with Illinois, back to the basket.
It's a banger.
Good footwork, big. Offensive big, and that doesn't necessarily work. We saw Jordan Brown, who theoretically was the similar style of player, not work at all within this system, and I did have some questions. But if he drops down to 240, gets real slender, can run up and down the floor, I think that fit could definitely be a whole lot better going into the season.
All right, we got to talk about what Charles Barkley said about Caitlin Clark and other women in the WNBA being petty towards her. Basically, here's the quote. You women out there, y'all petty, man. LeBron, you are 100% right on these girls hating on Caitlin Clark. Y'all petty girls.
Yeah,
so even
okay.
the girls hating on...
Man,
on
and he went on to say, like, you should be thanking her. She got y'all's charter flights, and people are watching now, and all these things.
She plugged
and
in.
And listen, I think he like, overstated it a tad bit. I don't necessarily disagree with the premise, though.
Right.
I think that they're, you know, between Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi and, you know, going down the line, I'll get to the example of Cheryl Reeve, who is the head coach and player personnel person, basketball ops person for the Minnesota Lynx. But there has been a fair amount of contempt for Caitlin Clark within the WNBA. And people, you know, I saw Jonquel Jones and some people within the WNBA tweeting out, like, where's the hate coming from? And, you know, some people will say, well, it's coming from her fans going after the WNBA, saying that they gave her a bad schedule to start her career, yada, yada, yada. No, the hate's coming from inside the house, guys. That's where the hate's coming from. I heard Diana Taurasi not really give her credit coming in. And I guess way back in the day, LeBron and that Cavs team, he got a little bit of the similar treatment. And that's what he was talking about. That's why Charles Barkley said he agrees with LeBron. But I just don't think it's a good look in any way, shape, or form. I think Caitlin Clark's going to be fine. She has some, learning to do. She has to get more physical. She has to understand that game a whole lot better. But I don't know why there has been this sort of putting down of her by the people within the WNBA. I think that she is this massive star, and there is some contempt for the level of celebrity she has because I think a lot of these women feel like, damn, I should have been able to capitalize on that. I was very good in college. I won championships. Why does she all of a sudden come onto the scene and become this absolute superstar before she even plays a WNBA game? Like, that's where it comes from. Now, I will say this about the Caitlin Clark effect.
Yeah.
Sales from the WNBA's official online store are up 2,260% since Caitlin Clark came into the league. The draft, the WNBA draft, had three times the viewers of the WNBA finals last year when Caitlin Clark got drafted, and we knew she was going to land on the Indiana Fever.
Yep.
The league saw a 14% increase in attendance from last year, with both New York and Indiana leading the way with more than 17,000 fans at their home openers. The Liberty became the first team in WNBA history to have more than $2 million in ticket revenue for a single game in its opener.
Wow.
There were 10 sellouts in the opening week. And then the ratings are like the 2.1 million viewers for Connecticut Sun versus Indiana Fever on opening night is the highest rating in the history of the WNBA. So, going back to what Charles said, maybe he said it, you know, using strong language and he really called people out.
Yep.
But I do think there does need to be an understanding of what she has provided the WNBA. I'm not saying that there weren't women before her that set the table. I'm not saying that at all. But the level in which she has raised the visibility, the viability, everything about that league, it needs to be understood. And I think the hate from inside the house, the Cheryl Reeve, I'm going to go to Cheryl Reeve from the Minnesota Lynx. This was the best example I saw the entire offseason. So Cheryl Reeve is
You are fired up about this.
Cheryl Reeve is the Lynx head coach, and she's also the president of basketball operation. And there was the first night of WNBA preseason. It was on May 3rd. Mm-hmm. And the WNBA official account tweeted out, hey, Caitlin Clark's playing tonight against the blah, 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 the Wings.
Yeah.
So make sure you go check it out. And Cheryl Reeve quote tweets this on Twitter.
No. Don't do it, Cheryl.
Says also in action tonight, the Minnesota Lynx versus the Chicago Sky. And then she hashtags 12 teams, hashtag the W is more than one player.
Bless her heart.
And I just don't get why you're angry that the WNBA is selling what's sellable.
Right.
Right? In the end of the day, people may watch your games more because Caitlin Clark is now in the league. You don't have to rain on her parade to lift up your brand.
Don't crap on her
and
just because of it.
And
right.
I think we are seeing a fair amount of that with the Caitlin Clark effect.
Yeah.
I think there is some contempt there that they need to work through.
Yeah, a couple things on this. Jason and John are lacking John, so I'm talking more on the midday show. So he's on paternity leave. So we talked about Caitlin Clark. I'm the official correspondent for Jason and John for Caitlin Clark. So we talked about the Storm game in Seattle they played. But Indy, who she's drafted by, because she was drafted by the worst team in the WNBA.
Of course.
One of the problems about being Caitlin Clark is that you're drafted onto the crappy-ass team. It's like being on the Charlotte Hornets, basically. So she's on a really bad team. They're now 0-5. On their way to 0-10 by looking at their schedule, because they got the Aces coming their way and a couple
other
They
don't have an easy schedule.
No. So like
terrible lead-in.
It's tough. Even if there's only 14 of them, they're all better than you. So that's the problem. But we were talking about Christy Sides, who's in a really bad spot here. She's been in this job for 2 years. Now the coach of the FIVA. And it does feel like we're heading towards a scenario where she's going to get fired, because like last night, she wasn't playing her at the end of the game, trying to teach her a lesson. You know, like, why are
and
we...
And I thought she had a better game last night, right? She only had three
turnovers.
She did
17 points. She had like two blocks. She had seven assists, seven rebounds. Like,
Aaliyah Boston was awful last night.
Yeah, I mean, she had the little guard from Seattle, though, had a killer game. She had like 32 points. So, you know, these guards are faster than her. Some of them are taller than her. They're double teaming and hedging her, so she's seeing licks that she didn't see in the Big Ten.
Yeah,
you know, so it's going to be this way. But to score 17 points is still admirable. This is where these players are.
This is the equivalent of, like, she's the Steph Curry of this league.
I think
Steph Curry's not faster than anyone.
No.
He's not taller than anyone.
No.
He's not more athletic than anyone. But eventually, you get through and you start to understand your spots and understand the physicality that's coming toward you. But the difference is Steph Curry came into the league as a not very preferential player,
no.
so he didn't get these looks right out of the gate.
So what was his name that was the analyst who was fired from the Warriors job before we gave it to the new coach anyway? It sort of reminds me of Bickerstaff. Like, Christy Sides is going to be the next J.B. Bickerstaff.
Oh, really?
She's going to be like the fall person for the Donovan Mitchell type deal.
In the Grizzlies situation.
Yeah.
It's more the Grizzlies,
well,
J.B.
Yeah,
Bickerstaff
more like J.B. Bickerstaff.
Because this firing, we already talked about the J.B. Bickerstaff firing a little bit earlier. I think it's a little unfair how they're doing it.
It's ridiculous. But to this whole thing about Caitlin Clark, your main point, really well thought out, is exactly right. here's what you need to do if you're a player. You need to sit down and thank your lucky stars that the Tiger Woods of your sport has arrived.
Yes. It doesn't mean you have to love on her and take it easy on her. That's not what anyone's saying.
Right.
But at the same time, I think there needs to be more appreciation instead of that overwhelming contempt because she's a superstar as soon as she touched foot in the league.
And that's what golfers used to do. You'd hear them on the interviews on CBS.
Right.
They'd go, thank God for Tiger. Like, yeah. they literally would say that.
Yeah.
They actually should take the opposite approach and say that.
I just think there needs to be an understanding of what she's brought to the game. That doesn't mean you have to be...
You don't have to glorify her.
You don't have to glorify
her.
You don't have to take it easy on her. You don't have to let her score 30 points on you. I get that. But at the same time, I don't think we need all this random hate from inside the league coming at her because it doesn't accomplish what you're thinking it's accomplishing. It comes across as jealousy, and it comes across, quite frankly, and I'm going to say this, I'm not going to mince words, it comes across as a lot of players that have never had this type of visibility before.
Right, that's fair.
And you don't know how to handle the visibility. That's how the general public is viewing it, unfortunately. And I kind of view it in the same way.
What athletes in this situation should do is view it through the average consumer prism. In other words, my mother, who watches no Big Ten basketball, knows about Caitlin Clark because she was at Iowa and killed it. And now she might turn on a WNBA game.
Yeah.
So you should view it through the average consumer who, now that you've got more eyeballs on your sport, it's a good thing.
Yes, but when those consumers then see you hate on the one person
then
that's
they
bringing
tune
them to the
out
game,
again.
They get frustrated by that. They don't like that.
No.
So I just think there's this line you have to toe, and I don't think they're doing a very good job of it at this current moment. But let's go ahead and grab a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show with the rewind right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals coming up, and the NBA playoffs have tipped off. You understand that. But it's not too late to get in on the action with FanDuel. Because right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 to use on same game parlays, live bets, championship futures, and so much more. There's no better place to bet all the playoff action than America's number one sportsbook. Just make sure you go to FanDuel.com/GabeK. That's GABEK. Again, GABEK to get started. FanDuel is an official sports betting partner of the NBA and 92.9. ESPN. You must be 21 plus and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire just 7 days after receipt. And if you have that gambling problem, make sure and don't hesitate to reach out to the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Now it's time to go ahead and wrap this show up. Let's get the rewind.
Now it's the Rewind. Rewind on 92.9.
All right, now, what we talked about off the top of the show is the Mavs took a series lead, 1-0 on the road against the Minnesota Timberwolves, and they beat them 62-38 in the paint. How does that happen? Right? If the Timberwolves have these hulking centers that we know they have, a defensive player of the year in Rudy Gobert, one of the best offensive bigs in the league in Karl Anthony Towns, same with Naz Reid, he was the sixth man of the damn year. How can you possibly get beat up by Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively the second, who's a damn rookie? Like, how does that happen? I don't understand. It cannot hold if the Timberwolves want to go win this series, but it was very clear that the Mavs came out with their hair on fire, wanted to bring the fight to the Timberwolves as opposed to the other teams that have played the Timberwolves in these series. I thought the Nuggets got out physical by them, and certainly the Suns did. The Mavs were not going to allow that to happen, but we'll follow this series along the way. And also, House vs. NCAA. I want to mention this again. House vs. NCAA is the case that could lead to the NCAA and schools revenue sharing in college athletics with their players. But it has a bit of a hang-up at the moment with a case by the name of Fontenot vs. NCAA. Fontenot vs. NCAA could foil their plans to a certain extent. So I'm not going to explain it, not going to get into it, but make sure that you keep an eye on that. Now let's get to the big game tonight.
What's the biggest game tonight? Presented by FanDuel Sportsbook.
Pacers at Celtics, game 2. We're going to have it live right here on 92.9 FM ESPN here in about, what, 5 minutes?
Yes,
about
sir.
5 minutes, Brad Carson.
Yes,
now I want to ask, what is the official fade, Brad, pick?
Earlier today, the lines were adjusted. It started out at 9. -9 Celtics is what the lines opened up at, but I am picking Celtics -8.5 because it moved when I paid the pick. I also have a bonus pick.
Okay, let's hear the bonus.
The bonus pick is Jason Tatum over 30.5
points. And you said he's gone over 30
Like the last three of the last four.
Games? Okay.
Three of the last four. He did. Now, my fade on the last game also hit on my bonus pick because I picked Jason Tatum 3.5 threes. He didn't have 3.5 threes.
Are
in the
you
last
convinced
game.
That you make these picks and then the betting gods like,
yes.
shift it? You
they
think that
it.
You're right.
In fact,
when you make the picks, you think you're right.
No, I legitimately picked the Mavericks yesterday thinking the Mavericks would win, and they did.
Yeah.
But I screwed the listeners because we're fading these bets. Now, this is how strong this is. We're doing this at a 60% clip tomorrow at 12:50 on 92.9 FM ESPN's Jason and John show, mind you. Also, by the way, super fan of the Mavericks, this Macklin guy who's been wearing the Maverick, Cat Cottrell, he's going to be on with us at 11:25. Little plug for the show.
That's cool.
So
that's cool.
Anyway, no, my bonus picks have been, these have been so strong, Gabe, that I'm not going to pick Tigers games in the fall. We're going to stay away from the Tigers because we don't want to screw them up.
Do not pick.
We are staying away from the Tigers.
But yes. You know what? I'm going to agree with Fade Brad tonight. And I don't know if you should fade Brad. I'm going to go with the Celtics -9. I think they gave their really bad performance out in
the
game one.
The line is 9 points is where it's at now. It was 8.5 when
I picked. 9. Yeah.
You still like it with the points?
I like it. I think that the Celtics take off tonight because I thought they saved their bad performance for game one.
You're screwed now. Like Pacers are going to win now because of Gabe. It's Gabe's fault.
Fast forward.
Well, it'll be a Friday show, so we'll see if I'm right. And if you should have faded Brad or if you faded me, I don't know. We'll figure out who wins this Celtics
game. Gabe is putting a hex on the bit.
But we'll get into NBA playoffs as a whole. We'll talk some NBA drafts, some Grizzlies, the whole nine yards. There'll be plenty more on the show tomorrow. But that will put a wrap on this Thursday show. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Jonah Dillon, Jeff Calkins, and Eddie Gonzalez for their contributions to the show. We'll meet back here at the same time tomorrow. In the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and pass you off to Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals. So make sure that you tune into that. For Brad, I'm Gabe. Easy, be safe, and enjoy the rest of your night.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Now we have Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals coming up, and the NBA playoffs have tipped off. You understand that, but it's not too late to get in on the action with FanDuel. Because right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 to use on same-game parlays, live bets, championship futures, and so much more. There's no better place to bet all the playoff action than America's number one sportsbook. Just make sure you go to FanDuel.com/GabeK. That's G-A-B-E-K. Again, G-A-B-E-K to get started. FanDuel is an official sports betting partner of the NBA and 92.9 ESPN. You must be 21 plus and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire just 7 days after receipt. And if you have that gambling problem, make sure and don't hesitate to reach out to the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Now it's time to go ahead and wrap this show up. Let's get the rewind.
Now it's the Rewind. Rewind on 92.9.
All right, now what we talked about off the top of the show is the Mavs took a series lead 1-0 on the road against the Minnesota Timberwolves, and they beat them 62-38 in the paint. How does that happen?
right? If the Timberwolves have these hulking centers that we know they have, a defensive player of the year in Rudy Gobert, one of the best offensive bigs in the league in Karl-Anthony Towns, same with Naz Reid, he was the sixth man of the damn year, how can you possibly get beat up by Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively, the second, who's a damn rookie? Like, how does that happen? I don't understand. It cannot hold if the Timberwolves want to go win this series, but it was very clear that the Mavs came out with their hair on fire, wanted to bring the fight to the Timberwolves as opposed to the other teams that have played the Timberwolves in these series. I thought the Nuggets got out physicaled by them, and certainly the Suns did. The Mavs were not going to allow that to happen, but we'll follow this series along the way. And also, House vs. NCAA. I want to mention this again. House vs. NCAA is the case that could lead to the NCAA and schools revenue sharing in college athletics with their players. But it has a bit of a hang-up at the moment with a case by the name of Fontenot vs. NCAA. Fontenot vs. NCAA could foil their plans to a certain extent. So I'm not going to explain it, not going to get into it, but make sure that you keep an eye on that. Now let's get to the big game tonight.
What's the biggest game tonight? Presented by FanDuel Sportsbook.
Pacers at Celtics, game two. We're going to have it live right here on 92.9 FM ESPN here in about, what, 5 minutes?
Yes,
about
sir.
5 minutes, Brad Carson. Now yes, I want to ask, what is the official fade Brad pick?
Earlier today, the lines were adjusted. It started out at 9. -9 Celtics is what the lines opened up at, but I am picking Celtics -8.5 because it moved when I paid the pick. I also have a bonus pick.
Okay, let's hear the bonus.
The bonus pick is Jason Tatum over 30.5
points.
And
you said he's gone over 30.
Like the last
three of the last four games. Okay.
The last four. He did. Now, my fade on the last game also hit on my bonus pick because I picked Jason Tatum 3.5 threes. He didn't have 3.5 threes.
Are you convinced that you make these picks and then the betting gods shift it? You think you're right.
In fact,
when you make the picks, you think you're right.
No, I legitimately picked the Mavericks yesterday thinking the Mavericks would win, and they did.
Yeah.
But I screwed the listeners because we're fading these bets. Now, this is how strong this is. We're doing this at a 60% clip tomorrow at 12:50 on 92.9 FM ESPN's Jason and John show, mind you. Also, by the way, super fan of the Mavericks, this Macklin guy who's been wearing the Maverick, Cat Cottrell, he's going to be on with us at 11:25.
Rock
plug
on.
For the show.
That's cool.
So
that's cool.
Anyway, no, my bonus picks have been, these have been so strong, Gabe, that I'm not going to pick Tigers games in the fall. We're going to stay away from the Tigers because we don't want to screw them up.
Do not pick.
We are staying away from the Tigers.
But yes. You know what? I'm going to agree with Fade Brad tonight, and I don't know if you should fade Brad. I'm going to go with the Celtics -9. I think they gave their really bad performance out in
the
game one.
The line is 9 points is where it's at now. It was 8.5 when I picked.
Yeah,
you still like it with the points?
I like it. I think that the Celtics take off tonight because I thought they saved their bad performance for game one.
You're screwed now. Like Pacers are going to win now because of Gabe. It's Gabe's fault.
Fast forward.
Well, it'll be a Friday show, so we'll see if I'm right. And if you should have faded Brad or if you faded me, I don't know. We'll figure out who wins this Celtics
game. Gabe is putting the hex on the bit.
But we'll get into NBA playoffs as a whole. We'll talk some NBA drafts, some Grizzlies, the whole nine yards. There'll be plenty more on the show tomorrow. But that will put a wrap on this Thursday show. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Jonah Dillon, Jeff Calkins, and Eddie Gonzalez for their contributions to the show. We'll meet back here at the same time tomorrow. In the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and pass you off to Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals. So make sure that you tune into that. For Brad, I'm Gabe. Be easy, be safe, and enjoy the rest of your night.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number
1.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.